It was in February, wasn't it, that John Bodley, our senior pastor, shared these two vision emphases the guys mentioned in the announcement. You know, pushing into the presence of God on the one hand and being outward looking on the other. And particularly actually how these two things in the scriptures we see go together time and time again. Because we see in the Bible that the story of God is the story of his presence dwelling with his people. His presence coming to dwell within us and to rest upon us. But also his presence working through us. To share our faith, to be energized, to love our neighbors and to love our city and so on. And so, as the guys mentioned, that we've got this all-in weekend. It's going to be amazing in June. But of course, our annual vision and being outward looking is not limited to a weekend in June. It's for the whole year. And so today, I want to talk about the power of invitation. Because I think invitation is one of those things that all of us who are following Jesus can probably regularly have a go at in terms of being outward looking. And it's also a timely moment to talk about it with Alpha coming up in 2 weeks' time. Now, invitations are so powerful, aren't they? I bet many of us in this room have been impacted by invitations. I think invitations are a little bit like doorway moments because they happen in a moment, but they can open up this world of opportunity. Like when someone invites us first to try Cadbury's chocolate buttons and there's no going back. Or when someone invites us to try a new hobby that they like and then it becomes a life obsession. I remember a few years ago in this room, I was at a conference here and I was feeling a little bit nervous because I wanted to ask a girl out on a date who was also at the conference. And during this conference, I noticed Lizzie somewhere over there actually on her own and I decided that this was the perfect opportunity to make this invitation. So I went over to Lizzie and I said, "Would you like to go to the cinema sometime?" So far, so good. But Lizzie then replied, "Oh, you mean that group cinema trip that people are organizing?" In my head, I thought, definitely not that. No, 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 no. But as I stood there wondering if this was just her gentle way of letting me down, she continued, "And I'll have to check with my housemate on our shared calendar." Before I had a go to chance at salvaging things, a friend of Lizzie came over and rescued me. But thankfully, I was able to clarify later by Facebook message that this was more of an exclusive invitation to the cinema with just me, number one. And number two, I'd still be keen if there could be a slot in this mysterious shared calendar with the housemate. After almost 7 years of marriage now, me and Lizzie can look back on that moment and laugh about it, but also know the power of invitation. You know, they're so powerful in our journeys of faith too. Just to illustrate this, can I ask for just a show of hands? You know, hands up if your journey with Jesus had something of a powerful invitation moment. Maybe someone invited you to church, to Alpha, to some course. Hands up across the room if that was you. Someone invited you to something and that was a big moment. So look around, there's evidence, isn't there? The power of invitation. And in preparing this, I scanned back through that little Changing Lives booklet we've got to see how many people's stories included invitation in them. And I was amazed to see it all over the place. Sasha said, "Trent Vineyard was top of the list because of my mum's recommendation." Tom said, "They invited me to church." Leanna, "A friend invited me to Trent Vineyard at just the right time." Maddie said, "I was told about Trent Vineyard by my friend Mohammed, who also comes here." Susan, "Things began to change when I was invited by my friend to a YA event." And finally, Chris, "My journey started when my wife and I were invited to the Christmas Carol service here, and we were later invited to Alpha." And the impact of these invitation moments, they are seen when you read on and you find the amazing difference Jesus has made in people's lives just through those moments of a simple ask, that doorway moment. And we see the power of invitation in the Bible too, particularly in a passage like John chapter 1, which we're going to look at now. So we're going to be in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 35. We read there, "The next day, John was there again with two of his disciples when he saw Jesus passing by. He said, 'Look, the Lamb of God.'" And that's John the Baptist there referenced. "When the two disciples heard him say this, they followed Jesus. Turning around, Jesus saw them following and asked, 'What do you want?' They said, 'Rabbi,'" which means teacher, "'where are you staying?' 'Come,' he replied, 'and you will see.' So they went and saw where he was staying, and they spent that day with him. It was about 4 p.m. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and tell him, 'We found the Messiah, that is the Christ.' And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, "You are Simon, son of John, and you will be called Cephas," which, when translated, is Peter. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee. Finding Philip, he said to him, "Follow me." Philip, like Andrew and Peter, was from the town of Bethsaida. Philip found Nathanael and told him, "We found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph." "Nazareth? Can anything good come from there?" Nathanael asked. "Come and see," said Philip. You know, I want to just draw out two quick points from this account. Number one, that God is the great inviter. You know, earlier in this same chapter in John's Gospel, we see that Jesus is described with these amazing words. He's the light of all mankind, the one through whom the whole world was made, and the only Son full of grace and truth, who is himself God. But yet, despite these amazing descriptions, the very first thing we see Jesus doing in this Gospel is to extend personal invitation to ordinary, everyday people. First, Jesus invites Andrew and his friend to come and see. And then Jesus finds Philip and says, "Come and follow me." You know, Jesus has just been described as God in human form, the one through whom the whole world is made. And so here is God himself in the person of Jesus, modeling and valuing and extending personal invitation to the one. And later in John's Gospel, as we read on, we find more about the incredible scope of this invitation, God's invitation held out in Jesus. It's an invitation to life in all of its fullness. It's an invitation to the living water of the Holy Spirit living in our hearts. It's an invitation to the truth that will set us free. And ultimately, it's this invitation for everybody everywhere to know God personally through what Jesus has done. So God is the great inviter, and his invitation is truly great, but his invitation also comes at great cost. You know, I love a good wedding invite. I don't know about you. Obviously, the main priority of that is the couple getting married, but there is much to be said about the food and the drinks and the entertainment, the live music and all of it, and all of it is free, isn't it? It's amazing. It's all paid for. And in the same way, the invitation that God holds out for us in Jesus Christ is already paid for. We just celebrated Easter, and wasn't it amazing to be reminded again how Jesus paid for it with his precious blood shed on the cross, so that every single one of us, everyone everywhere, could be included in that invitation to God's great wedding banquet, if only we say yes. But it's even more amazing, I think, that in this story, we get to share God's invitation. We get to carry God's invitation. You know, when Andrew and Philip are invited by Jesus, the very first thing we see them do is go and share that invitation. They haven't got time to sort their lives out or be a certain type of person. They're just off inviting their friends. Andrew immediately goes to tell his brother, Peter. And Philip similarly goes and shares it with his friend, Nathanael. You know, and Peter's and Nathanael's reactions are quite different. Peter's straight away, "I'm going, I'm in. Yes, please." Nathanael's a bit more complex. He says, "Can anything good come from Nazareth?" And we don't know what particularly the beef is Nathanael has with Nazareth. But what we see is it's a negative reaction, isn't it? And we too might experience negative reactions from people we invite or share our faith with. Thankfully, though, our job as the inviter is simply to say, "Come and see. Come to Alpha. How about come with me to church sometime?" We might not be a mega evangelist or Bible scholar, but I think all of us can play the part of Andrew or Philip. Of course, we never know how people are going to respond, do we? But what have we got to lose? Sure, we might face that moment of awkwardness, but our invitation could be that doorway moment in someone's journey, that pathway for them finding faith in him. There's so much to be gained. You know, last Sunday I was chatting at the back to John and Amrith and their friend Amy, and I found out after years of life without following Jesus, John and Amrith, in their story, they'd become curious because they'd seen friends like Amy have this kind of inner peace and they wanted to find out more about it. And Amy often invited them to Alpha, but the timing never was right. Then one day, John and Amrith got chatting to someone randomly in a coffee shop, and it turned out that random person was a church minister. And the conversation went on for a couple of hours over coffee. And at the end of it, the church minister said, "Oh, have you ever heard about this thing called Alpha?" And they were like, funny to hear that. And then a week later, Amy popped up again. Oh, Alpha's just starting at Trent Vineyard soon, come along. And this time it was a yes, the time was right. And John and Amrith said their life has been completely transformed by following Jesus, finding purpose and direction. And now they're on a journey of inviting others too. You know, despite these kind of stories, I think all of us can probably think of reasons why inviting remains a challenge. But if we think about it, you know, the slight cost to us in terms of embarrassment or that moment of awkwardness or being busy, it can't be compared with what Jesus paid for with his own precious blood. And I know for me, I need to keep coming back to that to fuel my motivation and the importance of reaching out. But what about more practically? How do we go about inviting well? You know, I've got a few things I'm going to be telling myself over the next couple of weeks with Alpha coming up. So number one, Ben, cast your net near. Because often the best people to invite are friends or family who know us well and hopefully like us. Hopefully our invitation to them carries that little bit more currency. Just like Amy found though, sometimes we need to invite a close friend or family member probably again and again before they say yes. Although obviously do well to stop if they say, please stop asking me. I was chatting to someone last week who said he had a number of friends who had become Christians and started going to church. And I said to him, well, what happened in their lives? And he said, oh, they never told me. They've never told me about that. I really want to know, but they've never told me. And I just thought, I wonder how many of us have people around our lives that would love to hear a little bit more of our story of what Jesus means, but we've never, for whatever reason, had the moment to tell them. Number two, Ben, cast your net wide. God's invitation is for absolutely everyone. If we only invite our best mates, nowhere near enough people are going to get in. And I'm so inspired by people who go big with this, posting out something on their social media or something like that. Recently, I heard about one church member who invited 600 people on a mailing list they were part of. So let's just cast our nets wide. Number three, Ben, don't make someone's decision for them. And I know I'm really naughty with this one, often tempted to make those little judgments. Oh, they'll never be interested. That person's way too busy to come along on a Tuesday night. Practically, it wouldn't work out for them to do that. But it's so often a humbling reminder not to judge when the person I least expect says yes. One church member told me about inviting a group of colleagues at work who she knew to the Alpha course. And then over there was a guy who she'd never spoken to who overheard this invitation. And afterwards, he came over and said, oh, that sounded interesting. Could I come along? And he came along to Alpha and he met Jesus and he then got baptized here and had his life impacted by that moment. Number four, Ben, keep praying. You know, the power of invitation is a partnership with God because he's desperate for this invitation to go out and he's longing for people everywhere to say yes. And we can trust that he wants to partner with us. So let's be praying for the Holy Spirit to guide us to those perfect invitation moments when the time is right. Let's be praying for those that we love to have their hearts softened and ready. Let's be praying in these next 2 weeks especially for courage and for boldness to step out of our comfort zones for the one and for the many. And finally today, you know, we're thinking about Alpha, aren't we? And so I thought, you know, we thought it would be good to hear from Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. Now, Nikki and Pippa have led Alpha for about 35 years and have seen it go from a small course in their local church to what the Times newspaper describes as a global phenomenon, with over 28 million people having done Alpha around the world. Even here at Trent, we've had over 2,000 people do Alpha, and many of them come to know Jesus. And amazingly, Alpha, you know, all the resources are freely available to churches everywhere, and we're so grateful for that. You know, Nikki and Pippa are pretty busy people traveling the world, but at quite short notice, we thought, why not make a cheeky request for them to come to Lenten? Unfortunately, they couldn't come, but we did get a chance to chat to them on Zoom. And so this is from their home in London about 10 days ago on this video.
Well, hello, Nikki and Pippa Gumbel. It's so great to hear from you today. And many of us at Trent Vineyard and really across the wider Vineyard movement will, of course, know you as the pioneers of Alpha.
Yes, we love Alpha. And lots of us have got our own personal stories of how Alpha's changed our own lives or people that we love coming to know Jesus. So thank you so much.
Well, we're thrilled to be at Trent Vineyard. And we've watched with admiration what's happened at Trent Vineyard. and the amazing work you've done with Love Your Neighbor and with so many things. And you're a real example and inspiration to so many of us, and many, many churches have been inspired by what's happening at Trent Vineyard. So it's a real honor to be with you today.
Could you begin by telling us, you know, how is Alpha making a difference in people's lives really around the world today?
Well, we've literally just got back from Rio, Houston, Texas, and Mexico. And it's so encouraging for us to see that. And then before that, we were in South Africa. That God is still using Alpha to bring people to Jesus. We did a conference in Mexico, and the church is vibrant in Mexico. I'm sure the Vineyard's there. And we were just delighted to see so many people's lives change. Alpha working in prisons, in parliament, in all sorts of places. In each of these countries, there were stories of people coming to faith in their context. And that's what's really thrilling for us, that God seems to somehow cross cultures and countries and everything to reach people with the good news of Jesus. Mm.
What do you think it is about Alpha that makes it so accessible for people to encounter Jesus?
Well, we've just finished our 101st Alpha small group in succession.
Wow.
And Tuesday after next, we'll start our 102nd Alpha small group in succession, and we love it because I think it's really accessible for people outside of the church. I swim in the Serpentine every morning. I've been swimming there this morning, and I have a group of friends there.
It's a lake in Hyde Park.
It's a beautiful, clean, crystal clean, apart from the duck poo, lake in Hyde Park. I'm very interested that one of them said we are the curious generation. And I think there are a lot of people who are curious. Maybe they've been put off church and religion, but they're curious. They're curious in all sorts of areas. Sometimes the curiosity can lead them in not good directions, but I think they're curious also about spirituality. And Alpha is a place where you can come and explore the most important questions that we can ever ask, like why are we here, what's the point of life, what happens when we die. I had a discussion in the change room because somebody asked me what is Alpha, and I said it's an opportunity to ask these kind of questions, and they said, when I said, well, what happens when we die, they said, oh, well, what does happen when we die? So I said, well, what do you think happens when we die? And we went round the change room, everybody saying what they thought happened when we die. And then they turned to me and said, what do you think happens up when you die? I said, you'll have to come on Alpha and find out. And I didn't think there are many places these days where you can do that, where you can have these kind of conversations with other people who are, the majority of whom are from outside of the church.
You know, one of the values we really cherish is being outward looking, but we know it can be a challenge sometimes to sort of keep on going. So what helps you guys stay motivated to keep persevering?
I mean, because it makes such a difference, and you see people's lives change, and there's nothing more exciting. And you never know when an opportunity might happen. We just before the last Alpha course, there was a man who we saw standing outside our house, and we realized he'd been scammed. He thought he'd paid for a room in one of the houses here where we live in Clapham, but we know the neighbors, and they're having a lot of work done in the house, and they were definitely not letting rooms. And so got into conversation. Nikki invited him in here and let him ring banks and do all sorts of things. And then
I gave him a book.
Just as he was leaving, thought, well, you know, never, and gave him a book.
Actually by our son, called Loved.
And thought nothing more, and didn't hear anything from him for
quite a few weeks,
and suddenly got an email from him saying, I've read the book, it's changed my life, can we meet up and go for a walk? And Nicky went for a walk with him, and as they walked past the church, the big sign up was Alpha. So he said, why don't you come to Alpha? Which he did, and came into our group. And it's lovely to see his transformation. He's part of the church now, plays lots of touch rugby with the crowd there. And you sort of think, that was just such a random opportunity. Actually, Nicky, I think, is better at saying...
No.
...taking that opportunity.
But he was a 25-year-old Zimbabwean. Now he's playing every Saturday, plays touch rugby with the church. Every Sunday he's in church. We saw him just before we left to go to Mexico and Rio de Janeiro. And there he was, sitting in the church, surrounded by his friends. He's just been promoted at work. And he wrote and said, he sent me a lovely email saying he thought it was the providence of God that he'd been scammed, because otherwise he wouldn't have ended up on Alpha. So it's always so exciting to see what happens to people.
And each life is so precious.
Yeah. That is a brilliant story of personal invitation. And we are wanting to get inspired here to invite people along to Alpha. So have you got any top tips, any personal stories other than that one? Just top tips for us of inviting people.
I think that when people met Jesus, like when Andrew met Jesus, his instinctive reaction was to say to his brother, come and see. And I think that it is, when people have encountered Jesus, the most natural thing is to say, come and see. I don't have all the answers, but come and meet Jesus. And Jesus has the answers. So I think when we're talking to our friends, sometimes it's very difficult to know quite how to deal with all the questions and discussions. But what you can say is, come and see. And you know that if you take a friend to Alpha at Trent Vineyard, they're going to have a great time. They're going to have really great food. They're going to meet some interesting people. They're going to hear good talk. And they're going to have a fun evening. And that's having confidence in what you're inviting people to. I think it's sort of embarrassing to invite people to things that you think might be slightly cringe. But if you know that they're going to have a good experience, then it's very easy to say, come and see.
Yeah. And no pressure. So quite a lot of Nicky's friends from the Serpentine have come. Some of them have done the whole course. Some came just for one night. But that's, you know, that's great. And we're very happy with that. And so that whole thing of just come and see, just come for one and see if you like it. And there's no pressure to come back. And if you like it, please come, you know, keep coming. And then, of course, once they start coming, they start bringing their friends. And so it is a virtual circle. If we get on it, their friends, they bring their friends.
Some of my friends in Zimbabwe only came once, but I got a lovely voicemail from one of them who only came once just a couple of days ago, saying, you know, could he meet up again? There's so much to discuss. He's really interested. So even if they only come once the first time, maybe the next time when they're sort of thinking about these things, they'll say, oh, the next time I'm going to come and do the whole course. So I think it's a simple ask. Just come and see.
You know, our next Alpha course at Trent Vineyard is starting pretty soon. We're really excited about that. Is there anything else you might say just to encourage us or other Vineyard churches that are getting ready to run Alpha as well?
Well, we love the Vineyard, don't we, Pips?
We do love the Vineyard. You've had a huge impact on our lives.
Yes.
In every way, from what we learned from ministry, worship, all sorts of things, changed our lives, changed our church, and we're so grateful to you. I think it's just enjoy it, because I think we can get so sort of caught up or worried about, have I asked anybody, will anybody come? And I know for me, I'm always sort of thinking, they're bound to say no before I'd even ask them. And actually, sometimes it's the most surprising people who do say yes, And of course, some do say no. And that's disappointing. But we've definitely had people who've said they've been asked a ridiculous number of times. And eventually, after 8 times or something, they've said yes. So persevere and keep praying, of course, because it's not us. It's the power of the Holy Spirit that draws people to Jesus. And we just do the sowing, and it's up to Jesus to bring in the harvest, to bring the people to himself.
What was it the neighbour said that who lived in Macaulay Road that we never asked her?
And there was somebody who said to me, there was one sort of quite cool mum at school with our children growing up, and I'd asked other people to other things, but I had never asked her because I was a little bit frightened of her. And when we were leaving, she said at the end, "Why did you never ask me to anything?" And I felt so bad. I didn't know she knew about anything, but that I hadn't had the confidence to actually ask her and risk being snubbed, actually, and risk being, you know, in some way being humiliated. But actually, it is worth it. Even if they say no and never speak to you again, it's not the end of the world. Mm.
Yeah, we would love to pray for you when this video is being shown. So are there any things that we can be praying for? Not now, but when we show the video.
Oh, well, I mean, I think now we've handed HGB on to Archie and Sam, because we're doing a lot more travelling. So we're doing a lot more travelling. So I think energy and strength to do that. But we've got our leadership conference coming up in the beginning of May.
5th and 6th of May.
Anybody's welcome at the Royal Albert Hall.
But I love your presence. I'm doing the opening talk and on leadership. And
never gets any easier.
It never gets any easier.
And there'll be ministry. And we learned all our ministry from John Wimber, gave us a model. We didn't have one before. And he taught us how to pray for people.
Yeah. Well, we would love to pray for that. And also, as you mentioned, a time of ministry in our services. As we watch this video, we're going to go into a time of ministry. And so we would love for you to lead that, to pray for us as we go into that time. And actually, if you're watching this service right now, could I just invite you to stand at this time? And then as just before Nikki and Pippa pray, if you stand right now, and then over to you guys just to pray for us.
Oh, thank you, Ben and Nicola. Real privilege to be with you today and to be at the church. And I want to encourage all of you to receive right now. We're going to pray the prayer that John Wimber taught us to pray, but is actually the most ancient prayer of the church. Come, Holy Spirit. And we are expecting right now that the Holy Spirit is going to come and fill you. So you may like to just open your hands as a way of saying, Lord, come and fill me today. Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses. We cannot be witnesses to Jesus without the power of the Holy Spirit. And right now, God is filling people with his Spirit. And this is an experience of God's love for you.
And there may be some people here today that fear of people. Mm. And Lord, we bring to you our fears, our worries, our image, all those things that are so often so fragile. And we thank you that you love us just for who we are. We ask, Lord, for everyone today that they would know that they're a child of God. They can hold their head up high, that they have the most precious message the world desperately needs to hear. And we thank you too. The perfect love drives out fear. It banishes fear. And Lord, we just pray for everyone to have a new sense of confidence in the gospel, in the good news, this precious gift to hand out to people wherever they go.
And I sense that some of you, a name is coming into your head as we pray, and it's like a prompt of the Holy Spirit. Could be a member of your family or a work colleague or a friend or someone you know from the gym. And the Holy Spirit is just prompting you. And Lord, I want to pray now your blessing on this church, on Trent Vineyard, and on every person who's here right now. On your family, on your friends, on your finances, on everything you've turned your hand to. Blessing, particularly, we pray right now on this next Alpha course, that there'll be far more people than ever you ever thought or even imagined coming. You will pour out your Spirit on the whole church, every service, every course, every relationship. The blessing of God Almighty, the Father who loves you, the Son who died for you, and the Holy Spirit who's filling you right now and will remain with you always. Amen.